spiritual life, church, work, health, recreation, those kind of things, to say, is my life really where I want it right now in these areas or not? You know, am I doing well? And I think it takes a balance. It takes a good balance to, you know, I mean, if I don't play, it's hard for me to pray. It's hard for me to do anything if I don't get to play once in a while. How many guys are that way? If you don't get to play, you just, and girls too, yeah? Some of you, yeah. What's the matter with the rest of you? Do you just schedule play? Is that your deal? You just schedule play? Because I think God, you know, at times He said, we just need to come over here and take a break and throw a party. And so that's a part of it. And then last week we talked about developing a SMART goal. And somebody said this today, I think it was Miss Donna said, I was taking some class, and they had this SMART goal there, and they had B in front of it for balance. You know, all has to balance out. And I'll talk about that just a little bit today. But be specific in your goal, and clarity is power. The more clear you are about a goal that you want to achieve, clarity is power. Then is it measurable? How will you know if it's happening? You know, when they basketball games, you go to a Thunder game, they know it's measurable because when they shoot the ball through the hoop and it goes through, there's a score. In fact, if you're watching the Thunder and keeping up with them, we're about Kevin Durant getting the kind of confidence that Kobe and the rest of these guys have, that get the big, when he gets that confidence. Last night, you know, he pulls back, shoots a three-pointer, and could have won the game, but they're just not in the clutch. They're not there yet. They're young. But look out, we'll have a great team. That's how they measure. You know, in the football field, it's when they get across that goal line, these big guys on either side of the, but that's how they, and so how is your goal measurable? I'll know I'm making progress because, and answer that question, how is it measurable? And then, is it attainable? We talked about that. Remember, there's two things. Is it attainable? It's the ability. Do you have the ability to obtain it? And do you have the willingness? It's bad both ways. When somebody has the ability, but they're not willing. And it's bad when somebody is willing. And I really hate that for people, when they're willing and they don't have the ability. That's people just have to help us when we get like that, to say, you know what, I think you're on the wrong track. You don't have the ability. And then, is it relevant? Is this something that's really important to you right now? Does it matter to you? And then time specific. When is it going to start? When is it going to launch? When is it going to end? What's the first step? You know, it's time specific. It's not just out there someday, you know, we're going to shoot for this. So today we're going to talk about, it's down toward the bottom of your list, but I don't want to get out of sequence. This little outline that I have on here is something like I would share with a coaching client, and it would be like, what wins have we celebrated? We won't. How many know if you don't have your goal set, you're not started, you can't celebrate a win, and maybe if you've set your goal, how many know that's a win? If you just set your goal and made it, you know, and it the old saying, a Hershey bar a day keeps the doctor away, right? Is that what it is? Oh, it's an apple, isn't it? Yeah, I get those mixed up. It's an apple. So if you went from a Hershey bar a day to an apple a day, That's a win. You can high five and celebrate that, or you know, if you're walking around the block or whatever it is, you know, that you didn't do, that's a celebration. Just setting your goal, but we'll get to that a little later. But I want to talk about action steps today. Everybody got your sword and ready to learn today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go back to our favorite scripture we've been looking at in Luke, the 19th chapter, and verse 10, Luke 19 and 10. You can pray for me that God will heal me of allergies or sinus or what, I guess allergies. I do take Allegra, but I love to sing, I love to speak, and then just, I get so tired of that. And I'm sure you get tired of hearing it. Luke 19:10, he's setting his action steps, and he's got this is his specific goal with action steps built in. I love it. It says, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and save that which was lost. And that's what he did every day, wasn't it? Every day when he would get up in the mornings, he would go out seeking lost people, one day he would go out and he would choose his disciples that needed to be trained and honed, and he was seeking those that he knew needed salvation, those that needed healing. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. And so every day, it was built-in action step. And what when he said that, he didn't say, I've come to form a committee to see if there's any people in our area and take a survey. He said, I come to seek and to save. Seek and to save. I'm working with a church, coaching them on growth. And one of the things they kept going back to is, we need to market, we need to market, we need to market, we need to market. And I said, I've just noticed a pattern here. You're going back to strategies and marketing before you get your heart for what's really relevant to your church. And I said, can we just put that to aside for a while? And one of them said, well, I think it's very important. I said, well, tell me about Jesus' marketing strategy. What kind of strategy did he have? And they looked at me and I said, you know, and then one of their pastors said, well, it was really, his marketing strategy was, here, be healed and don't tell anybody. That's kind of what he said. Because he was thronged by people. What was his market? He didn't have a marketing strategy. He had a clear goal that said, I'm going to go out and touch people today. And he built such a reputation. He didn't need, it was built into his action set. It was so powerful that they'd come and he would heal them and tell them, now go, don't tell anyone, because he couldn't even control the crowds around him that was already there. And so that's one way we can tell that, you know, our action step is working. We don't have to market it. We don't have to have cheerleaders. It's there. It's part of us. And so it's built into that statement. One of the things I was thinking about when I prepared this was, and it just blew me away, there's two things he put in all living creatures. Two things he put in all living creatures. One is the power to procreate. And the other is the power to set and achieve goals. They give them the purpose. He give every living creature a purpose. And then he give them the ability to fulfill that purpose. And I was thinking about that in terms of the little critters you see all just out in our yard. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, like the little ant. You know those little bitty ants that's about like a grain of salt? They're just little black ants, and they crawl around, and you can barely see them unless you get down close. Especially if you're my age and can see like me. But, you know, they're just tiny. And you think about them, and God put in, and you know, we talk about our iPhones and things, and it's like having a little laptop with you, and all that technology, and this little handheld thing. Well, let me blow your mind away, all you techies. God made this little ant that we can barely see, and inside his little bitty head, he put a brain with the ability to know when and where he's gonna build his fortress in the ground. I mean, how does he know? He's just walking along like a little ant do, and God put something in his mind, and he said, okay, this is the place, boys. This is where we're going to drill right here and build our fortress in the ground right here. And they're all high-fiving, you know, down at the mound. All right, we got our place now. Praise God. And how do they know to get the first, how do they know who goes first and how to stay out of each other's way and how to make all this fit? Have you ever seen a little bitty ant bed and it's about big as your thumb, but it's all just perfect. And they got this grand entry into their little bitty ant bed, you know, and it's cute, but it boggles your mind, doesn't it, to think God put an architectural design in that little bitty space up here in his little bitty teensy-weensy brain. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? How did he get that in there? Steve, you'll never figure that out. I don't care how much Dale and all them, they'll never be able to put that kind of information in that little bit of a space. It's amazing, isn't it? And I thought, you know, God has put an action step in every living creature, and that's why we're not fulfilled when we're not creating that action, not fulfilling our purpose. We're not fulfilled when we're not doing that. I can remember in school somebody said, that boy is so dumb, if you converted his brain into gasoline and put it in a Flea's motorcycle, he wouldn't go halfway around the BB. Some of you thinking, I know that kid. All I'm saying, all I'm bringing that up for is to say, you know, we don't use what we have. That's our problem. It's not that God didn't give us the ability to create and to procreate and all that. But how do they know? How do they know when it's after they got the thing built? How do they know that, okay, we're all going to gather food today? The fortress is complete. Now let's sit down and let's have a meeting and we're gonna all gather food today. Because one guy stands up and says, winter's coming. And they all say, winter's coming, winter's coming, winter's coming. And they go, phew. And then, you know, you've been out in your yard and there's a little path where they've just cut it because they're busy and they're just back and forth, you know, back and forth. I've sprayed right out here before because we'd have them along our front door and I'd spray and a little while you'd see some dead and then you'd see others just making a curve around the spray. Spray! I don't know how they do that, but they know, and they make adjustments. How many knows when you have an action plan, you need to make adjustments? Because it's gonna, you know, spray is gonna happen, people to terminate your goals is gonna step in your path, and so they just know that. They know that. They know it's time to store up food, and they know winter's coming, and they know all that stuff, and it just, when you think about that, it just boggles your mind. God put that in an ant and he formed them all together and they're busy about the Father's business doing what they know to do and they're surviving and thriving right where God put them. And then a bird. How does a bird know? How does a bird know that he can fly? You know, you say, well, the mama pushed him out of the nest and all this stuff. Well, it's part of it's their design, isn't it? So it's really important for us to learn our design. You know, how you're made up. And if you don't know, ask people, tell me about me. You know, what do you think, some of my traits? But to get to know yourself and your design and all, that's really important. And it amazes me how a bird, you know, he knows his purpose. He gets up in the morning and he's whistling and praising God with his singing and then he'll look around for the food for the day and then they'll look at the nest part up in the tree and they'll plan all that out and then one little twig at a time. Here they'll go. And just one, and then when they get the center, they'll make the feather bed, and it's like, who told them how to do that? Well, that's their action steps. Like, you got the picture? Look at this. Here's a picture I took in Spain. And we were driving to our son was taking us down to Gibraltar, the Rock of Gibraltar. And we were on the way, and this is some little town, I don't remember the name of the town. But look at that. You know what those two big things are on the top of that? That's a bird nest, two bird nests, and those are all over Spain. And there were white birds probably about that tall. And I thought, now, that's like a little tower with a little bitty disc on top. And I thought, how did that white bird say, you know, I think I can build me a nest right up there? I thought, how did he connect with that? And then how did he get that to stick up there? Isn't that a work of, I don't think most of us in here with all the crazy glue could get that thing to stick up there. But isn't that awesome? You took a picture of that? Well, that's the way my little brain thinks, okay? But I thought that was just cool, and they're all over, and then, you know, and they have them, like in their old cathedrals where the pillars, they have those, and you'll see them up there, and they're just looking over at you. It's kind of like the keepers of the church, you know. I'm a deacon of this church, you know, and that's why I built my house up here. But how did they know? And did all the others sit there and say, look at there, Fred's going to build a house. Well, that'll never work. Crazy old Fred. And all of a sudden, Fred gets his house built, and then somebody says, well, there's another Poe. I'm going to take that one for somebody. I call dibs on that Poe. I mean, how did they come up with that? That they could build a house that's... And look at the unique design, how it comes. Who put that in their brain? Well, God put that in their brain. Now, I show you this little stuff and get you thinking about this little pea brain and this architectural structure that to me is amazing that they could even put it up there and then that it would stay up there. To me, that's amazing. That's amazing. And all I'm saying that for is to let you know that God has put stuff in you with prayer that you can achieve and do all that God has called you to be. And I hope that builds your confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to set a goal this year for my health, for my finances, for my relationships, whatever it might be, for fun and recreation. And I'm going to set them pretty high this year. You know, they're going to be attainable, but I'm going to stretch me. And God has put stuff in me just like He did with every other living creature. And I'm going to go for it. And God's going to give me wisdom and the ability to achieve my goals. Because that fulfilled people are always doing something. And here's another thing that's really, we went and saw Avatar last night. Awesome movie. But the story, you know, of survival in the woods and stuff, and I went back to the little ants and I thought, they're that way. I can remember when I was about 8 years old and me and my cousin was out wrestling in my grandmother's front yard. They lived out in the country in a little 110 acres and a little house and some good fishing ponds and all. And we were there, and I remember we were just wrestling around the yard, and in a little while, we felt something up our pant legs. And we had rolled over on a little bitty ant bed. And I thought, how do they know? Predator! I don't know how they know, but they know, don't they? And it's like... And they came up our pants. Both of us just lost our pants right there, you know, and woo, and was crying and screaming because we were on their territory. But I thought, how do they know? What possessed these little things to say, you're on our property, and now we're going to launch our stingers. Prepare your stingers! You know, and here they come. That's amazing to me. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Our pastor is simple, isn't he? He is simple. Well, you get a bunch of those up your pants and see what you think. It's not amazing. James 2:17 teaches, faith without works is what? Dead. Action steps without actions or a goal without actions is dead. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Get you a goal and create an action step and say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to stop putting it off. I'm going to go for it. And watch what God will do. He gave His disciples action steps. He said, go into all the world, make disciples. And you know what? When He left, how many know they took those action steps serious? And it didn't matter. In fact, they were several times, they were put in prison, they were beaten, some of them were martyred, but they said, you know, when they left and stripes on their back and they were doing their action steps, guess what they said? All to the God be the glory. And one time they told him, he said, you know, what do you think? We're going to do what men wants to do or God wants to do? We don't have a choice. We're just going to do what God wants. This is our action step. This is what He told us to do, and so we're going to do it. And the Bible said that they could tell that they were unlearned men that had been with God. They might not have been seminary students. They were fishermen and some rank and file. You know, one of them was a tax collector, IRS agent. You know, he gathered them from it. But here's what this is what God told us to do, and we will do it, and we will accomplish. And they changed the world, didn't they? Because they were simply doing the action steps that God said. Let me give you three things that you need to own and to have if you're gonna fulfill your action steps. And the first one is very key, and write it down if you can. But the first thing, once you create an action step, is this: you need to know that you own it. How many knows what I'm talking about when you need to own it? For instance, you know, there's all kinds of financial plans, but if you don't own that plan, you'll not save and you'll not be a good steward of money. You got to own it. I didn't tithe until I owned that principle from God's Word. It hit me about when I was about 25 and I heard it preached, and something opened up to me, and I knew that was a godly principle that I needed to practice. And so I would just begin practicing tithing. You know, Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, all those stuff work if you own it. What plan will work, Pastor, for a health plan? Anyone you own. Any plan you own. Here's my health plan. Moderation. I can't do certain foods, certain this. I cut out like bread. When I grew up, if you didn't have bread on the table, you couldn't eat. Where's the bread? Well, you know, so Mother just made sure we had homemade biscuits or cornbread or at least light bread. I mean, that was the least of the, you know. I grew up in the country and she cooked and just an awesome cook. But that was one thing that I thought, you know, I don't want to own that anymore. But I own the health plan that I have. I own the relationship plan that I have. If your relationships aren't working and you need a new plan, just make sure you can own that plan. And Jesus, man, He owned the plan of seeking and saving that which was lost. Didn't matter. They threatened him. In one place they tried to stone him, and he just left town and went somewhere else. When they beheaded John the Baptist, well, it was tough and all, but he just went out and did more miracles. And so there's all kinds of opposition, but he owned what it was that the Father had given him to do. Now remember this, and sometimes we need to have support along the way. He owned the cross. He told him, you know, the Son of Man's going to give his life. In 3 days he'll rise again. So he owned all that. But remember, before he went to the cross, he had to have a prayer meeting in the garden. So I'm just saying, if you own it, there may come a time when you say, I really do own this, but I'm having difficulty with it, and just hit your knees and say to the Father, I need some help with this one. I do own it. You know, my relationship with people is key and it's important, but I'm just struggling right now with my relationships and those people you created. Are you hearing me? You know, just get serious with Him. He said, Father, if this cup can pass, let it pass. And it's Him and sweating and he was disturbed but he owned it, and so he didn't say, well, I think I'm going to put it off a few weeks. When the time came, he pressed in and sought God's face. And when he got up and he dusted his robe off, he said, it is enough. I've heard the answer, and it's no, and this is what God has given me. And how many knows God had owned the plan way back in Genesis when he said, the seed of woman will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. God had already owned the plan way back then. I mean, another plan that he owns in action step is to wrap all this up one day. Everything you see, the sun will be darkened, the moon will look like blood, and this earth and this building included, and your house included, and your new car included, and your new motorcycle with lights all over it, bill included, and everything, and all the chrome you put on it, it's included, is going to burn. Not the motorcycle. Nothing, no material things are going to make it through the transformation, the resurrection. He owns that. And so you can just take it to the bank. That's the way it's going to happen. And he put that together. So own it. For instance, every Sunday morning, I'm going to be in my office back there unless I'm, just have something major come up or something that I need to adjust somehow that I can't get there. I'm going to be back there. And I'm going to be holding this service up in prayer because I own that. That's just something God put in me as a young pastor to always be sure to just gather a few. We don't have to have many, just a few that believe in prayer like I do and own prayer. And we'll meet back here and we'll pray. And so I own that. And then whether you show up or not, I'm going to be back there praying because I just own that. That's something I feel like I need to do. So many times we get frustrated in ministry or work or in family deals because, we don't own it. We're doing it because somebody else if you don't put your schedule together, somebody else can schedule your time. So schedule it, own it, and just make sure that it's you. This is something you own. Number two, the second thing you need to know is about your action steps is that they need to line up with your values. They really need to line up with your values. You notice when in Jesus' statement, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I'm so adamant about I value humanity so much that I've created in my image. He said, here's what I'll do. He says, if one of them strays off over here, he said, I'm going to leave this herd and I'm going to go take out after this one. That's a value of his. That's what he values. I mean, those you've got a value, and take a little time this year, if you would, just to say, what do I value? What do I really value? And it should be whatever you value should be what it'd be a mountain. You say, okay, I'm gonna stand on this mountain. I will not be moved from this mountain. You know, a value of ours is Jesus Christ and being born again through the blood of Jesus. That's an essential statement of faith. That's one of our essential values that we believe as Christians. And we take flack over that. You know, you Christians think you're the only way to heaven. Well, guilty. I mean, that's what Jesus said. And so that's why we say it's not us. We didn't write it. Just take it up with Jesus. But we stand like He did. He said there's no other way to the Father except through Him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Or not. And if it's left up to me, I'd say, let them go as long as they got a good heart and they're really trying, let them go. But it's not up to me. It's up to Jesus and God. He created it. He's the potter, we're the clay, and so that's what He gave us to work with. You either believe the Word or not. It's a value that I hold, and I hope you hold. Now, I think His mercy endures forever and to all generations, and so there may be people in there that confess it different and living in the truth as they know Jesus, but they're living it, and maybe they'll make it. I don't know. That's between Him and that's way above my thinking. Here's some things, for instance. You know, I value health, and so I'm at the gym 5 or 6 days a week or walking. One of the two. I value being a good steward over my finances, so now I have a reserve set up and we have a good financial plan in place. I value my relationship with God, so I get up every morning and spend time in devotion and in the Word and with Him, because that's a value of mine. I value my marriage, and so I spend quality time and quantity time with my wife. And let me just kind of apologize. Maybe I was a little harsh last Sunday when I said, unless you're dying, don't call me. I'm spending time with my wife. You know, I was being a little facetious when I said that. I mean, there's all other problems. You know, I talked to Randy, and different ones of you called me, and when you're sick or need prayer, and I'm available. So if I was a little harsh, forgive me. And then second thing I want you to do is just quit being so sensitive. Yeah. Grow on both sides. You know what I'm saying? I value family, so I schedule family time. You know? We'll go eat. When all the kids come, we'll go eat and on Sunday after church. Wednesday night, we get ice cream in the snow. It's snowing or raining or shining or what. We go get ice cream. You know, that's because I value that. I want them to look back and say, that was fun time, you know. Even if they don't remember all of Miss Donna's teaching, I want to remember the ice cream, you know. We had fun with Jesus and ice cream, you know. And I'm sure they'll remember most of your teaching. And I tell you what I do. I appreciate her putting good seeds in my grandkids every Wednesday night. You don't know how much I appreciate people like you that says, I believe, and that's a value of yours, isn't it? Instilling the living Word of God in kids. And if that's a value of yours, you ought to get with the team because there's place for you to do that here. But I'm telling you, it's a value of hers, and you don't have to ask her if she's coming or prod her to come. She just comes, and she's got her nuggets from heaven, and she places those in kids here at Prayer Faith. So that's a great ministry. I value fellowship. So we fellowship. You know, we fellowship. You ought to fellowship with people that you enjoy and things. I value fun. So fun is on my schedule. We're planning to go back to Spain. My oldest grandson's graduating in June, and so we're going to make another grueling trip over there. I hate the flights really, but I love the country, and so we're going to go over there, and we're going to be at his graduation. And my family, they all want to go to Paris, so we're going to go to Paris. You know, we've been there once, and that's enough for me. But they want to go, so we're going to go, and then they're going to go to Disney something in Paris there, and I don't care about doing that. So we're going to break off from there, and we're going to go over to Italy and along the Mediterranean coast and spend a few days because I value fun. And so we're going to do that. Somebody say, I wish I could do that. Well, you could if you'd write it down. You could if you made it a goal. I had this wrote down to go to Spain a long time before we went. I thought when they moved over there, I just wrote it down. I want to take a trip to Spain. No, you need a goal. You need to own your own goal. That's what I'm trying to preach here. If your goal is to be my driver, you need a new goal. I'll tell you that right now. Ain't going to happen. But I appreciate the offer. Yeah, you know, and I kid Bob, but he talks about, you know, I said one time, everything I have belongs to God. And he said, well, you don't give me that gold wing then? I said, as soon as God tells me. But I think he's about ready to write that down as one of his goals, to get him a gold wing. You know, he's seen how smooth they are and stuff and also. But whatever your goal is, you know, whatever excites you. I mean, this is our daddy's planet that he created. And if you want to go see part of it, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you want to go and do and help, and there's a team going to Guatemala in March. If you want to be a part of that, sign up. They'll take you down there, and you can look. I like it because it's a short trip. You know, it's just a few hours down there. It's not a grueling trip. But whatever it is, make sure it lines up with your values. And I want to give you this, and you ought to write this down, because if you don't know what your values is, here's how you can tell. And I'm going to tell you something. This will not lie. This will actually tell you what your values are, opposed to what you say your values are. And here's a simple process, and it will not lie, and you can check yourself. What you really value is, you look back over your schedule from right now back to the 1st of January, or last week, or last few weeks, and you look at your schedule. Just think about what you did with your schedule and your time. That's what you value. Some of you be looking at your thing, you say, oh, I value TV a lot, don't I? I can tell you what my son and his little boys value over in Spain. They value those games, video games, you know. I don't know what they're called, the Xbox, or I don't know what they are, but they've got the latest one with where you're like an army guy and you're trotting along and you've got your different weapons you can whip out, and they just love that stuff, you know. Of course, he's military, so, you know. But they value that, and I know, because when I was there, they spent a lot of time on that. you value your family. Well, how much are they on your schedule in the last few weeks? Per day, how much are they on your schedule? I'm a student of learning. Well, how much time is spent learning on your schedule? I value relationship. Well, how much effort have you put into developing strong relationships? And strong relationships mean I'm going to spend time with you. What you value, I'm going to value that to some degree, because, you know, I value you, and if I value you, then I want to do what. When it's icy and snowy, you know, our grandkids hardly ever mask anymore, but used to say, are we still going out? But they hardly ever ask that anymore, because they just know we value that, and it's not about the ice cream. It's just about going and sitting with them and making sure that time is allotted for them. And so, but you look at your schedule, and it will not lie. You may be disappointed in it, but it won't lie. That's what you value. And you may be disappointed in what you see, but your schedule won't lie. And it'll tell you what your values really are. I think if we would do that more often, there'd be less divorces. I think there'd be less parent-child relationship problems if we said, this is what I value, and so I'm going to put that on my schedule and make it up. I'm going to own that and put it on my schedule. So we need to look at that. And then the third thing, the last thing is when you set your action step and you got it in place, you need to say to yourself, because we get excited sometimes and all. How many of you know when you get excited and you think, man, we can do this. You know, we can do this. And we're jumping off and launching into this. And the first week it's exciting. And the second week it's less exciting. And the third week we're thinking, oh my God, can I do this? So here's a great question you need to ask. Is it a sustainable pace? Am I on a sustainable pace? Because here's what will happen. And I see it all the time. If you're not on a sustainable pace, one that's real, you own it, you value that thing, you're headed towards your target, but you look at it, and sometimes we have to reevaluate, because how many of those things come up in our lives that it was a sustainable pace, but now that mama's sick or daddy's sick or you know, we've inherited our grandchildren or whatever it is, that's no longer a sustainable pace. That's no longer something that I can do anymore. And you have to look at that and say, I cannot keep this pace up, and so I'm going to have to start saying, we have little worksheets that we give our clients, and it says what I want to do more of and what I want to do less of. That's a great worksheet for everybody to look at the first of the year. What I want to do more of and what I want to do less of. And just make you two columns. And that, you know, over here in the more of should be on your value side and what you own. And over here should be saying, you know, this is necessary, but can I delegate this out, or can I just not do it altogether? You know, what would happen? What would be the... what would it create if I didn't do that? What kind of a wake would that create in my life if I did not do that? And just redo it. Say, this year I will focus on this. A sustainable pace. Jesus said, if you want to turn your Bible, look in Mark chapter 6. How many knows whenever whenever he was, when he gave his action step, I have come to seek and to save his goal, that which was lost, he never varied from that. All the time he was here. Even on the cross. Even from the cross. Remember when he looked out at the crowd and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And then one of the thieves that was there by him, he was forgiving him. Even to his last breath, he's still seeking and saving lost people and praying over them. So he never varied from that goal. But sometimes the pace was such that he said in Mark 6:30, he says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus, and Mark had been killed, and I mean, John the Baptist had been beheaded, and it's a stressful time, and they, for whatever reason, I don't know exactly why, but he had plunged himself into ministry. When he got the word that John the Baptist is dead, it says he pressed in, you know, and he really began to just do ministry in an extraordinary way. So the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Now, I think that's really important, especially for people that are like me and some of you in this room that have a driven personality. I said the other day, you're just a workaholic, aren't you? I said, not really. I said, you know, I like to work hard and when I'm working and all, but I do take breaks and try to keep that in balance. Yesterday, you know, recreation to me is when we had a little time in between some things we were doing, I just went in my reading room and got my Rosetta Stone out and studied a little Spanish, you know, and then I read a little bit on a book that I'm real excited about, and that's recreation to me. It may not be to you, but it is to me, and so took a little time with that. But just like what he said, this is not a sustainable pace, guys. You can't do that. And to recognize that it's not a sustainable pace. Here's what happens if it's not a sustainable pace where you feel good about it. You'll abandon your goal. I see that quite often in people. They just abandon it. Well, it's just not working. You know, it's not working. Well, just say, is it a sustainable pace? Is it a sustainable pace? A friend of ours last night, we went and watched Avatar. He's a great guy, but he's just a kid when we go to the movies, and he gets this big deal of butter popcorn, and he ate it, and then during the movie, he got up, and he went outside, and he came back, and he's just chucking M&Ms at us, me and Jana and his wife, and then he got him. But the bags are like this, you know. And he gave us all one. And so me and Jana opened them up and ate a little bit, you know. And his wife said, she was sitting there and said, well, just give me some of yours. I want to share. He said, they're all gone. And when we went out to eat, he said, I can't eat anything. You know why? He wasn't on a sustainable pace at the movies. Because he enjoys. And so that was his dinner, just popcorn and M&Ms, you know. And so we kind of ribbed him about it a little bit. But anything we do, we need to say, is it a sustainable pace? Is this something I could do for the long haul? You know, when you're trying to build your relationship and maybe you've gotten trouble, I mean, knows Tiger Woods is in trouble. You know, the world's greatest golfer. And so here's what I know. They said he's enrolled in some classes on sex addiction and all this kind of stuff. Here's what I know. The tendency is when we're in trouble and we want to move the other direction is to put things in place that's not sustainable for a long period of time because it's urgent. Urgency has driven us to do this. And so I watch it in couples when I have counseling with them and there'll be the husband or the wife, one of them's thinking about leaving or separating, and they'll say, well, I'm willing to do anything. I said, you need to make sure it's a sustainable pace. Because here's what will happen. One of you will say, well, I'll do this, and I'll be real accountable, and that's fine. You know, it's fine. But just ask yourself, is this a sustainable pace? Can I do this? Because if not, it's not long to that other spouse that's smothered now and made unreasonable goals to restore this marriage. I've watched it, and they're like, I can't do this anymore. And you know, you've got too much leverage over here. and I'm dying, you know, trying to. And so anything we do, ask the simple question. And it's really simple, and just look at it and say, is this a sustainable pace? The other day, Haley, you told me, you said, I'm not taking quite as many hours this time. And I could see you kind of light up a little bit. More fun, wouldn't it? Yeah. See, you know what I know about? That's a smart young girl right there that says, I've got some goals here, but that was tough. I'm going to adjust my ship. How many knows you operate the accelerator of your life? Whether you're Haley's age or a senior citizen, you operate the accelerator. And to get that just right is very challenging for all of us. Can I be honest? It's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Even when you're older, it's a challenge. You know, what you can do, and in your body, what you used to do, you can't do anymore because you just wore out and all. But just ask yourself and pray. The little ant that looks like he's running 100 miles an hour for his little body, at nighttime when the sun goes down, he's in there just going. Why? Because it's time to rest. And he's smart enough to go get rest, because tomorrow I'm going to get up and do it again by the help and the grace of God. So is it sustainable? Ask yourself that. Father, thank you for showing us in your word that goals are great. They're not God, but they're great, and that we all need to set goals. Just like you did when you said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. And never took your eye off the mark. We learned so many things from you, Lord. We learned today that you owned it. You know, that didn't matter whether people wanted to stone you or applauded you. Where you asked people to come and, you know, sell what they have and follow me. And they said no. It didn't deter you one bit. You went straight on for your goal. And God, this is what I know. Every person in this building has been given a purpose. And that purpose, at different stages of their life, they'll have a goal. They'll set the purpose is out there, and we'll set a marker and try to hit that marker. And that's so pleasing to you, and it's so fulfilling to us when we do it. Because that's what we're made in your image. We're made in your likeness, and you've shown us as you come and was fully man. This is the way you operated. And if this is the way you operate, this is the way we should operate. And so we ask in Jesus' name for all those right now that are working on their goals, that they say, how do I want my health to look, my relationships to look, my finances to look, my ministry to look? And all these categories and things that, as they wrestle with these things and as they put them together, we ask that you would just anoint their eyes and their ears and their thinking and their mind. Give them wisdom and understanding, that they'll place down on their paper some God-honoring goals. Attainable, relevant goals that they can reach. And step by step, I ask, as they create an action plan, here's step one, Lord. Here's step two, Lord. I ask you to honor them and bless them and give them a disciplined heart and a determination and a fulfilled heart and mind. Help them to create a sustainable pace, so that they'll see the blessings and the fruit of setting some God-honoring goals in their life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today while Christians are praying, and if you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need to recommit your life to Christ today, I'd like to invite you to just lift your hand, and I want to pray over you. Is anyone here today that you need Christ in your heart or need to recommit your life to Christ in some area? Anyone?